Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
But I want to talk a little bit about unity in the church. So let's pray before I get started, and then we'll go into what God is saying. Father, we thank you, first of all, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your testimony that you've put on our lives that we can share with one another so that we, being lights in the world, can distribute light so that those that might be in darkness can come to the light. And Lord, I thank you for the word that is the light. Your word is the light unto our path and the light and lamp unto our feet. So we ask that you would illuminate your word so that we can hear what it's saying to us tonight. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the testimonies, and thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I got to go back here and do my two-part message. Now, first, also, I want to say this about Pastor Nate and Gail. We came to them, and we were in transition, like my brother was talking about. We weren't on sabbatical, but we had just left the church, and we were trying to find a church in the neighborhood, and we heard about, we didn't even know their names, but we heard, there's a church starting up the street, and we were at that time living in Skyway, and so we went, and you know how it is when you don't know anybody, and you're not sure about anything, but God has a way of soothing your doubts, huh? So we went into the church, and Pastor Gail, I believe, was leading the praise and worship that time, and I know she feels embarrassed, but I'm not going to say, I can't remember what you were singing anyway, so don't worry about it. But when we heard the music, we recognized the person playing the music, and it was Jim Bates. And Jim Bates was played the praise and worship for a church that we went to long before we actually met Pastor Nate and Pastor Gail. So that was like a confirmation, are you listening to me, that God wanted us to be here, and it was a place of comfort. And see, a lot of times, and I'm not even getting into the message, but a lot of times we have to look at that. And then, of course, you get to know Pastor Nate and Pastor Gail, and you can't help but love them. And as we went there for a while, even I think we were both coming from the same place, and so we told the Bells about the church, and they came, and that's how we all kind of came together, and we met Vanessa and Greg. It's Vanessa, for those that have been mispronouncing her name all these years. and then Annis played the guitar when she first got there. That was her, and now she could play other instruments. She played the drums, and she played anything she'd get her hands on. But she never played the keyboard at that time. And so we were listening to Bates play, and you know how it is when you have tapes. You think you're going left, and they go right, and they go up, and you stay down. So I said, Annis, do you think you could help them? I said, can you? And she said, well, all I got to get, I said, look, just get the guitar, do something, but they need some help. And so she got the guitar and brought the guitar for a while. And after a while, Pastor Nate preached a message on something. Do you remember what it was, babe? Three things that you want to do if there's no restrictions. What would those three things be? Right. So he preached a message, and God spoke to Annis. And she went to Pastor Nate and said, Pastor Nate, if you could get me a keyboard, she says, I know I could play it. And so I think he borrowed one from his son, if I'm not mistaken, Nate Jr., or was he the third? Is he the third? Yeah. So he gave Annis a keyboard, and Annis practiced. I mean, Annis, for those that don't know Annis is a, I don't even know what to call her, but I'll just say she's extremely committed to what she puts her hands to. And she practiced, and I'm not kidding, because I was there. 18 hours a day to get the keyboard. And see, not a lot of people know that. And she finally, what'd you say?
I only slept 6 hours.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. But she practiced, maybe 18 is a little too much, but I know she practiced a long time because I was like, man, that's long. But she got the keyboard. And then we bought a more advanced keyboard, and then she started programming. So not only did we have a keyboard, but we had a band all on the keyboard. And then that's when we started singing all these crazy songs. We were practicing these songs the other day, and we were saying, man, I don't know how we sang all these hard songs. But that's because we pushed ourselves, and we pushed to do what God had called us to do. And that's what I want to talk about in unity. Unity is something that the church is called to. Amen? But I think there's a misconception about unity. And one of the misconceptions of the unity is that we're not united because we are in denominations. How many believe that? But see, that's not the truth. Now, there is some separation because of denomination, but we're not divided unless, and this is the key, unless we allow ourselves to be. Because when you look at what each denomination believes, we do believe the same things. Am I right? I mean, even the Baptists and the Pentecostals, those of us that call themselves still Pentecostal, now we're not Pentecostal anymore. We're charismatic, or what's the new Pentecostal? We're not really considered evangelical because they don't like the tongue-talking people. But we're somewhere in the middle of that. But we all have a common belief system. And so what happens, though, what the enemy does is he tries to emphasize the differences as opposed to what we really believe. See, people argue about baptism. Right? How many have argued about, well, we need to be dunked? No, we can be sprinkled. You got to be baptized in Jesus' name. No, you got to be baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And we argue about stuff like that. But notice there's one thing in common in that argument. And what is it? We all agree that you have to be baptized. So it doesn't matter the format of the baptism, we know that we have to be baptized. So when we're wise in the gospel, we understand. We don't argue about methodology, but we only argue about the mandatory elements of what we're supposed to do. And that keeps us united. And, you know, and then we try to divide. The enemy tries to divide us on color grounds. Huh? The black church, the white church, the Asian church, the Indian church, but the church is always been and will always be a multiracial group. The problem that we have to overcome, and this is a stronghold in the church, is we have to overcome our preference to fall in our racial divide. And stay there. Because that is a work of the flesh, to take your color as a badge of superiority and make you think you're better or not as good or whatever the case might be. And that causes division. But the scripture teaches us that we are needed in order for the body to function together. Amen. So let's look at some scriptures real quick. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 12 through 31. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'll jump around a little bit. Let me find my Bible here. Can use that one. One of my problems is this building doesn't have internet. So if you guys' Bibles need internet, sorry. You got to have one of those ones that are already downloaded in your system. Otherwise, you don't get them. And I got to find the right one, so that's why I'm going through. And then that's the thing about electronic Bibles. They're great when everything works, but then sometimes you say, where's my Bible? Where is my Bible, the old one that stuff is falling out of? Where's that? So anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through the 31. It says, for as the body is one and has many members, everybody say many members, but all members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Notice he talks about baptism here. But whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now notice he starts out that Jews and Greeks did not get along in the early days of the church. Right? Matter of fact, Jews didn't get along with anybody. They thought that God had taken them out, plucked them, and put them over here, and then nobody else could come in that little circle. And there was truth to that, but when Jesus came, he opened the circle up to include everybody. So notice the Bible does not, and have you noticed this? The Bible does not talk about racial colors. There's only a few times in the scripture that the colors of a skin are ever mentioned. One is when he talks about, can the Ethiopian change the color of his skin? But that's about the only time the scripture talks. But what he does talk about are Jews and Gentiles. And see, the Jews were one group, and then the Gentiles is everybody else. And unless you're a Jew, you're a Gentile. So we really don't have much to discuss because we're all Gentiles, no matter what color we are. And even some of the Jews were multiracial because they, you know, how we know the story of the Jews. The Jews never got this thing right. I mean, come on. The northern kingdom just was hopeless. I mean, once Jeroboam took over, the game was over. He didn't do anything right. He didn't do it. Matter of fact, he said, man, they're going to all go back if I don't come up with a religious system. So let me set up these two idols and tell them, hear, O Israel, these are now your gods. And from that point on, they were idolatrous. They lasted for a while, but they never worshiped God. They never had not one king that worshiped God. Whereas the southern kingdom, they had good kings, bad king, good king, bad king, good king, good king, good king, bad king, good king, bad king, good kings, bad king, bad, bad, gone. And that's the story of the Jewish people. And then when they were gone, they were dispersed into different nations. And then they came back, and we don't read about this story, but the Maccabean period, which is the 400 silent years of the Bible, they came back, recaptured their area. We know about Nehemiah coming back, but we don't see it anything after that. And then they never ruled themselves hardly after that. They became a vassal nation. And finally, when Rome came, Rome dominated them, and after Christ died, the game was over for the Jews. They destroyed the temple and their worship system was destroyed. Now notice, God destroys the temple, or Allah, I should say, God allows the temple to be destroyed right after what? Jesus raises from the dead. Why? Because that system was no longer necessary. But because we love to live in the past and live in our own religious clique and our own religious circle, our own understanding, they wanted a system like the old system, so they made what we call today rabbinical Judaism. And it has nothing to do with biblical Judaism because there's no temple. And so they had to come up with, and if you read the Talmud, if you read the Mishnah, all the Jewish literature, you see they have come up with a religious system outside of what the scriptures teach, because the scripture says you have to offer sacrifice. But once the temple was destroyed, they couldn't do it. So instead of doing what God wanted them to do, they stayed to do what they wanted to do. But we see here that God called us, to both Jews and Greeks, to be one person, or in Christ, all as one. Amen? And it goes on to say, For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot say it should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Or if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members of each one of them in the body just as he pleased. So let me say this. If you're in the body of Christ, you have a role to play in the body. Now, the things that he talks about being the most visible parts, that's the fivefold ministry. The fivefold ministry is the most visible part of the body of Christ. Is everybody with me on that? You understand what I mean by the fivefold ministry? The apostle, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. These are the people that are up front. But how many many people call that the hand of God. That's because it's five. But how many of you know that there's more to the body than just the hand? But see, so many times in the church, we have only looked at the hand, the fivefold, and not realized that we too have a role. Unfortunately, and I'm going to say this as a pastor, many times the pastor makes you look at the hand and thinks you're not a part of the body. And don't think that there's anybody important enough but the pastors. And that's wrong. So we have to understand that everybody has a role. Everybody has a role in the church. All of us have a role in the giving. No, don't start there. Yes. All of us, our first role is the giving of the church, in the supporting of the ministry. That's your first role. Most of us haven't even graduated into that one. I ain't giving. What they doing with all that money? I remember this is what Pastor Nate's got all sorts of great lines. But these are some I remember he said this. He said, you know, it's funny how nobody ever asks what the light company is doing with all that money. But let me tell you something. They got more money than the church could ever have. We wish we had light company money. But nobody calls up the utility company, what y'all doing with all that money? But as soon as you give your $5.50 to the church, you want to know what they're doing with your $5.50. And if you called the utility company and asked them what they were doing with their money, they would hang up on you. Because I'm not telling you. That's what they're doing with their money. So we have to understand, we have to first understand that our first call, and then again, this I'm still talking about unity, is to support the work of the ministry. Not just pay the fivefold, but to support the work of the ministry. The fivefold is included, but it's not the only. Are you with me here? And see, part of the church, and unfortunately, I hate to say this, but a lot of this is in the minority community. Pastors have created kingdoms out of their church, and they treat it as if they're the rulers. And that's not God. Because he clearly says, don't lord over the sheep. So if you're not supposed to lord over the sheep, you're not the king. Am I right? If you're not supposed to lord over the sheep, you're not the king. And see, you say, I thought you were talking about unity. See, I'm talking about unity, but it starts with a mindset first. First, you have to understand that you are a part of something. Just like you start in your house, your family is a part. You're a part of your family. And let me just stop here real quickly and just say this. Another place where unity begins is in the home. And, you know, I know we're in a time where there's a lot of single parent homes, and So even with when there is only one parent, the parent has to be united with the things of God. Because you and God are two, and you have to be united. All right? So the single parents, you have to be united in the things of God. You have to unite and then train your children in the things of God, and don't allow them to persuade you out of doing the thing in the will of God. But for those of us that have two in the home, a husband and a wife, the husband and the wife need to be one. Everybody say, we need to be one. And one, of course, means united. What does that mean? You cannot let, and this, most of us, my kids are old and gone, so me and Annis is just me and Annis, thank God. But if you have kids, you cannot, every parent say, cannot let your children divide you and your wife. They play that game very well. I see it in my grandkids. They do it, try to do it with us. Papa, can I have that? Well, sure, baby, you can have that. And then their dad say, I told them they couldn't have that. And I look at them, I say, why'd you do that? You know, but that kids do stuff like that. Why? Because they want to get what they want. And they don't care how it happens. And as parents, we have to be wise enough to know that we have to stay united in the little things. That's a little thing. But then we have to be united in the way we raise up or want to discipline. You know, it's a hard thing when a parent says, well, I believe we should spank our children. Well, I don't believe we should spank our children. You've got to come to an agreement, because there is going to be a time where you have to discipline your kids. And everybody said, amen. It's not a maybe happen. No, it is coming, and it might be in the next 15 seconds. So you have to be united in the home before you can ever be united in the church. Because that's why a lot of times you don't see a husband and a wife going to church together, because they're not united at home. And until they understand that unity starts with the home, you'll never have unity at home in the church. But unity is not just saying and doing the same thing, but it's a core belief system. Amen? We're united because of what we believe, not because of what we think or how we feel. See, the problem with the world now, everything is feeling. I don't see how I can be against that if they love each other. Or I don't see how I can say that's wrong if they don't think it's wrong. It's not you saying it's wrong. It's not you saying it's right. But what does the scripture say about it? And if the scripture has spoken, we're silent. You know, after the court ruled that, you know, same-sex marriage was a constitutional right and all the things, I heard a guy get on the radio, and he says, look, it doesn't really matter what the court says. I didn't write the book, and I can't change my opinion because they changed theirs. We have to be united in the truths of the scriptures. It doesn't change, no matter if it's popular or not. It wasn't ever popular to be a believer. Did you guys all know, and this might be a news flash, but did you know that all the disciples got killed for what they believed, except for one? John. And they put him on the island somewhere because they couldn't kill him. They tried, but they couldn't. Peter was hung upside down on the cross. Upside down. We know that James was killed, and that wasn't even one of the disciples. That was John's brother. He was killed early on. In the book of Acts, they tell him he was killed. They tried to kill Peter. After that, they put him in jail to kill him, but the angel said, it's not time for him to die, so come on out of there. But Peter left. Notice he said, tell the disciples, and I'm gone. He said, I'm leaving town. And he left. He did come back later because we know he was at the Jerusalem Council. But Peter had to leave town. So it's not, we're never going to be popular. Now, Christianity was popular for a long, long time. But now it's not. It's not anymore. It's not popular. Man, you know it's not popular if all you say is, well, I think a man and a wife should be the only people that get married. And then you get fired for saying stuff like that. Now, you know it's not popular anymore. But we still have to stand for what is right. And I'm still talking about unity because unity is what we believe is what unites us. Amen? So I'm going to go on and finish this and then we'll close. Because Annis told me I only get to preach a little message today. It is a short message, brief message. No, I'm just teasing. Where was I? Huh? 18. It says, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if there were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Remember, notice that. We can't be telling people in the church that we don't need you. We need everybody. And everybody needs to find a place in the church. And we need to pray. Everybody say, pray. Pray. God, give me a place. Stop looking at everybody else's place because he has a place for you. Huh? Stop trying to be, I wish I could sing. You know you can't sing. Lord, I wish I could be in the praise team because everybody sees the praise team. Oh, Lord, I wish I could preach because everybody sees the preacher. But there's a lot of other work in the church other than the praise team and the preacher. And we need people to do what God has called them to do. But see, we're lazy. Oh, sorry, I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings. But we're lazy because we won't press to find what our place is. And it takes time with God to find out where your place is. I remember when I came into the church, and you know, I was in college when I got saved, and I really didn't want to be a pastor, Marcel. This Marcel. I didn't want to be a pastor because I was going to school to be a lawyer. And I didn't think you could do both. And I didn't want to be a pastor instead of a lawyer. So I said, Lord, I don't want to be a pastor. I said, I'll do anything else, Lord, but I don't want to be a pastor. You know, you can't say that to God. Anything means anything to him. So slowly he started to show me something. And he said, you can be a teacher. I said, well, I could do that. Because I don't have to be a pastor to be a teacher. And slowly, he hooked me in. Slowly, he pulled me in, and then he called me to be a pastor. And then he called me to be a pastor when nobody was in my church. Huh? Nobody was coming to my church. The folks that said they would come didn't come. You know how that is, Pastor Nate, right? Yeah, they seldom do. And so I said to God, I said, Lord, I told you I didn't need to be a pastor. Here I'm telling God stuff. I was fine doing what I was doing. But if you really want me to be a pastor, you've got to bring some people in here. And that night, somebody was at home. They weren't, I'll tell you who it was in a minute. At home, and God spoke to them, said, go to Harold and Annis' church. And they showed up that night. Just as I said, God, you got to send some people in here. Because if you don't send anybody, I'm going to take it as I'm not supposed to be doing this. Huh? I'm trying to get out now. I'm trying to back away. But God sent somebody. He sent Tony. Toni Tolbert came. And she didn't even know. But God will show you. That's what we're dealing with in this neighborhood. God will show you your place if you're persistent. And you know what? After that happened, I said, okay, Lord, I'm not going to ask you that question no more. I'm sorry. I doubted you. I don't care if nobody shows up. I'm going to do what you've called me to do. That's the way we have to be. And in order to stay united, we have to find our place and stop coveting the place of others. Because covetousness, which of course is of sin, you know, lust is really the word, leads to division because it leads to fighting. Amen? And it leads to ambition. Ambition is good, but not in the things of God. Because you can be ambitious in prayer, but you're not ambitious for someone's position. Amen? But you can be ambitious in prayer. You can covet in prayer, meaning that you can lust to pray. Huh? That means have a strong desire to pray. That's the only place where covetousness is licensed. You can lust for the things of God, but not for positions. Amen? So that's the way we're going to stay united. I'm going to have to close because I think there's a couple more things we need to do. But I just want to say this, a couple of things. Number one, unity starts at home. Unity also comes when you find your place. And then unity is a product of where you first understand it starts with you supporting the work that you've been placed under. Amen? Those are three things that we could take home. All right? Say amen. God bless you, and I'm done.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.